No doubt about it, the Army has had success with robots in the last few years. For instance, robots have detected and disarmed roadside bombs. But you could characterize Army robotics as version 1.0. The next generation of robots must cost less. They've got to be more flexible and programmable and easier to maintain. A big question is whether industry can deliver. Joining me with more, Sandra Irwin, editor of National Defense Magazine. Sandra, good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
And so you are writing in National Defense Magazine, which we should say is published by the National Defense Industrial Association, that the Army is really looking for a whole new approach to robotics. What is it they're looking for that they don't have now?
There's a number of things that they're looking for, Tom. I think, you know, it's important to understand this is a really crucial time in the development of the next generation of Army robots, which are known in the industry as unmanned ground vehicles. And there's a confluence of factors that are shaping the Army's thinking and expectations about how to use robotic vehicles as tools of ground warfare. One of the most significant trends has been the rapid advances in autonomy that are making robots far more independent and intelligent. So this is technological progress that the Army is seeing at a time of transition within the Army, where you see the force downsizing and the Army looking for new ways to shift duties to robots, especially duties that the Army considers dull and dangerous. So there's going to be a lot of rethinking about, you know, moving beyond the traditional missions of road clearance and explosive ordnance disposal, which, you know, has been what the Army's been using primarily robots for in the last 15 years. And they will be looking at some broadening the missions for robots for surveillance, for security functions, for special operations, for engineering duties, for transportation as mules. There's been quite a number of programs that the Army has already launched, but I think they're looking at what technology can deliver at this point, and they're also pressuring the industry to lower the cost. I think that's been an issue. I think some of these robots that were acquired for combat in Afghanistan and Iraq were, you know, $200,000 plus pieces of equipment, and some of the manufacturers now are saying that the cost could potentially come down by half.
I want to get back to that point about autonomy for a moment. That means it would not require a soldier with a joystick within sight of the robotic instrument directing it. It could self-direct.
Yes. I think the autonomy is a big subject of debate right now. And coincidentally, the Defense Science Board just came out with a study on autonomy and the potential that it has for Defense Department systems. I think, you know, there's a specific definition that is used for, you know, what makes systems autonomous, and for example, you know, there's the study that cautions that this has to be handled very carefully. The Defense Science Board said that the military actually needs to be more aggressive about using autonomy, but they also have to be more careful about training operators so that things are not, so that functions are done in a way that they don't create unintended consequences. And I think in the case of armed robots, that is an issue that is very much still under debate because their Army is not really ready to do that. The Army wants to use robots more in defensive, in security roles, in force protection roles, or in logistics roles, but there's no indication that they are ready to send any armed robots into the battlefield, especially with any type of autonomous features and any kind of technology that would potentially make it less likely to be able to control what a system is doing in combat.
We're speaking with Sandra Irwin, editor of National Defense Magazine. And what about the addition of robotics or autonomy to existing platforms like tanks? or cannons that could possibly be operated with lower risk of loss of human life.
Yeah, I think the Army has been testing I believe that they call it a remote weapon station that, you know, in the future it could be adapted for combat vehicles like tanks. But again, you know, these are incremental steps. They're not necessarily anything that you would categorize as a revolutionary robotic autonomous weapon system. I think that, you know, the Army is just being cautious, and they're doing experiments. They've been building prototypes, and I think at this point their primary concern is to try to get the technology sort of in a way, you know, get the industry to start producing this technology in a more affordable way and to produce them in a more efficient way so that they have an open architecture and they are more easily upgradable and they can be maintained at lower cost without having to hire specialized technicians and without having to fund different software programs for individual robots. And they want the industry to conform to these software standards so that it becomes less costly to maintain. And I think the plug-and-play feature of these future robots, I think, is essential. The Army doesn't know what it's going to be doing in the future, so they want to be able to take these platforms and then equip them with different pieces of attachments or arms or sensors. And I think that's kind of the vision that they have for how they can expand the use of robots beyond just the bomb squads to make them available to the entire infantry if necessary.
So open architecture then would extend to both the mechanics of them, that they could, a platform could do multiple things, and to the software so that the Army could reprogram a given platform to do what it needs to do that day.
That is correct. I think that is how the industry, the industry has definitely heard that message, and that's now what they're doing is they are preparing for the next round of procurements that the Army plans to start in the next couple of years, are robots that they could adapt for different missions. And I think they are definitely, there's a few companies out there in the industry that are ready to compete, and that they have heard the message that they need to make systems more open, more flexible, and less expensive to keep up and upgrade.
And this is the same type of requirement that these vendors are hearing from their industrial and commercial customers, do you think?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, the Army is definitely watching the commercial industry because they see the innovation that is happening so quickly, and they're looking for ways to adapt. I think, you know, that we heard, for example, the Pentagon has a strategic capabilities office that specifically was created to take commercial technology and try to adapt it for military use. And they actually stated that unmanned ground vehicles is one area that they are very interested in trying to find some synergy with the commercial industry. I mean, there's just been so much going on. Like Tesla, the company Tesla and Google, they have, you know, developed self-driving cars. The even Uber has announced that they're going to be rolling out a self-driving car. And it's interesting that I think I read in Bloomberg that Uber wants to replace more than 1 million human drivers with robot drivers. And so I think, you know, the Army is watching this technology, and maybe they want to see how they can apply it. I mean, there's definitely different requirements. In the commercial industry, they don't have the stringent scenarios that the Army has to face. So they would, you know, they would definitely like to take advantage of some of this commercial technology, but it's not necessarily as mature as the Army would like. I mean, for example, the commercial robotic vehicles are not designed for off-road driving or for some of these dangerous scenarios. Like, they would have to penetrate hostile territory, which the Army would probably have to do in a combat situation.
Sandra Irwin is editor of National Defense Magazine, published by the National Defense Industrial Association. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.